What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Concrete Message Podcast. My name is Sean, and I'm here with my co-host, Pee-wee from Bola. We hope you enjoy today's Concrete Message. Welcome to another episode of the Concrete Message. Today, we have Sohel Var with us today. He's a professional player from Austria, yep. And we're excited to hear what he has to say about the game and just his story and, you know, where he's at right now. So, welcome, bro.
Thank you very much for having me on board, guys. Super excited to be here.
So you're originally from Canada?
So originally from Canada. I was actually born in Austria, and then when I was a baby, my family moved over to Canada.
Yeah.
And kind of played there, grew up there, and then last year was when I made that jump over to Europe.
Awesome. Where are you playing, or where were you playing?
Back in Canada?
No, in Austria.
So in Austria, I just signed for SV Grodig this summer, which, great club, great history. They were actually in the Austrian Bundesliga 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then unfortunately got relegated, and they didn't want to keep the license, so they moved down to the Regionalliga. But still a great league, great competition, and, you know, infrastructure, everything, the facilities are still great. Stadium capacity of 4,000 to 5,000, and amazing place to play. I can't say anything bad about it.
Awesome. Did you just grow up playing on the field, 11-a-side? Did you play street? Did you? And what's kind of your story behind that? Because I know you like to make YouTube videos.
Yeah, I'm loving the YouTube game right now. But I mean, growing up, I did play a lot of 11-a-side. But I think something that I enjoyed a lot was the futsal aspect of it. I played, so I grew up in Canada, and we got a lot of snow. It's very cold there. So in the winters, if you want to play, it's got to be indoor. So it's either you play on turf or you're going to play in the gym. And kind of the option I decided to take was, you know, take on the futsal route. And it was for about 3 to 4 months. It was a season. And I think that's really where my technical abilities, you know, increased a lot, and translated into summertime when we went to the 11-a-side.
That's
something good about places like Canada. It's like
you have to play indoors. If you don't play indoors, and you
freeze. The only way to play.
And I know that from talking before, you're from like the northern part of Canada, Ottawa, right? Is that Ottawa. Northern?
Ottawa is northern compared to like the main cities like Toronto and Hamilton, but I mean, it's not northern Canada, because if you go northern Canada, you're looking at Yukon, Nunavut, and those places are
crazy. But it's pretty cold in Ottawa,
It is very cold. I was actually talking to a family member yesterday, and they're already getting snow up to their knees. Negative 20 degrees Celsius weather. Damn. So
sounds like your kind of place.
My kind of place? Why my kind of place?
Are we getting into that right now?
Yeah, we're going to get into it, because you're the one always wearing hoodies. I'm not wearing hoodies. So that's kind of your...
Is he not wearing a hoodie?
Kind of
place. Yeah.
You're the one that's always...
Here's the funny part. Let me tell you guys a story. So yesterday, we went out with family. I'm here with my uncles. And we just went out and went to a restaurant and went for a walk. And I think it was about 9 to 10 degrees Celsius. I'm not quite sure what that is in Fahrenheit. But they were complaining. They said it's too cold, and I said, are you serious? Because this is amazing for us, because I'll be back in Canada in about 3 days, and it's gonna be chilly. It's chilly.
I mean, we have it so good here. Complain about I mean, I'm gonna be one of those people. I do complain. I'm gonna be honest about it. Like, I do complain when it's in the 50s. Like, I'm like, dude, it's freezing. Like, or when it's too hot, like, we just were never happy in Los Angeles. Like, that's what it is. But yeah, man, that's freaking cold. Like, I couldn't deal with that.
Oh man.
But Pee-wee can deal with it, because he's always in sweaters. He's always wearing hoodies. Walks into the office with a hoodie on all the way, covered up his face.
Well, like, when I leave home, it's cold. So what's up,
bro? No, you wear a hoodie all the time.
Right,
even
now.
Even when it's summer. Yeah, even when you play, you're covered up.
It's light.
Whatever, bro. Well, listen, let's kind of start flowing through some questions here, and just digging deeper in your career and just like your life and how you got here. So, Pee-wee, ask away, my man.
Well, my first question is, like, you know, everybody looks up to somebody when they're playing. Like, yeah. Who are your role models in Canada or, like, around Canada the world, or, you know?
Yeah. So
Andre Campbell. I'm just kidding.
Andre Campbell.
Yeah, he was actually
my... I'm just kidding. Never mind. Because he played in Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andre, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
I didn't know him till I saw him on track with you guys. But, I mean, growing up, I was always a Ronaldo fan. Ever since his Manchester United days.
Oh, you're talking about the old Ronaldo.
No.
That was my dude.
Cristiano Ronaldo when he was young.
Oh, okay, yeah. He was a different player. Yeah. I mean, he took the ball, dribbled 2-3 guys, and it was fun to watch him play. Still fun to watch him play, but, I mean, his game style has changed a bit. But, yeah, it was kind of Cristiano Ronaldo growing up. What I loved about him was just the work ethic. Like, you can tell why he got to the top, you know, spending all those extra hours out at the field, in the gym, just to gain that edge over his opponents.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
My question would be for you is, like, what happened? Guy's work ethic sucks now.
Who, Cristiano?
Yeah, I don't like his work ethic,
you
bro.
Crazy?
I don't like it.
He still cries about
everything, man.
Nah,
you know what? It's because I don't like the guy. That's why.
Because you're a Barcelona fan.
I am a Barcelona fan.
Are you a Messi guy?
Yeah, I'm a Messi guy.
See,
that's why I don't like him.
I'm a Cristiano guy, you know?
Yeah.
Messi, you know, he did a couple of hormones and stuff, so... Nah, Cristiano, I heard an interview, like, once that his teammates were like, yeah, after practice, he'll put weights on his ankles.
I heard that too, yeah.
And kept going.
See, you get to a point where you start to respect both players and what they've achieved. And I think the reason I'm more guided towards Ronaldo is because I can relate to what he had to go through in his career. I wasn't necessarily the most talented kid growing up. I started playing competitive soccer at around 13 to 14. So a lot of where I got to was really just spending that extra time in the gym, out at the field to build up the technical abilities. And
Oh, for sure. Have you... have you ever played back in the Middle East? Have you ever been back to Iran?
I have been to Iran once, but I was super small and I don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
I remember one of my uncles, just because he you know, there's always that noisy uncle in the family. So I remember him, but no, I've never had the chance to play.
Yeah.
In
the reason, because the reason I ask is, you know, Middle Easterns, Iranians are very adamant about futsal. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
They're very, like, I mean, they're, I think they're one or two in the world, and the women, they're like number one or something, but they play so much futsal. Like, I remember going back and playing with plastic balls, like, that were wrapped continuously on top of each other to make it hard and, like, doesn't bounce. It's just on the floor. Mm-hmm. But they'll get, like, two rocks and make two goals, and it's like 30 kids playing, like, out in the street. So that's why I don't know. That's why I was asking if you've ever been back.
Yeah. No, I haven't been back. But that's definitely something I love about, you know, those countries. Just play with whatever you have and enjoy the beautiful game.
So, like, for me personally, like, what, my personal question, like, where did you start off? Like, was it a club, as a local club, or in Canada, where did you start?
So my story is interesting because my family moved over to Canada for education, job opportunities, and I mean, the first 2-3 years settling in, I didn't know the language. So I remember my first day of school, I line up, it was grade 4 grade 5, and one of the kids asked me, you know, hello, how are you? And I just looked at him, I didn't know what to say. So you know, settling in and learning English and French at the same time, that was the priority for me. And then after year 2-3, you know, going into my 13 and 14s, I played house league soccer. So I played house league for about a year or two.
What's that?
Recreational. Okay. Recreational soccer. So just for fun. And nothing serious. In about middle school, I would say grade 8 to grade 9, one of my friends saw me play at the school tryouts, and he said, we have a slot open for a competitive team, and, you know, to come out and give it a go. And that's what I did. That was my first year playing competitive at 14. That's how I kind of got into it.
Does Austria, what language do they speak?
So in Austria they speak German.
German. So you speak German, French, and English?
I speak German, French, English, and Farsi.
Farsi, dude.
You don't speak Farsi, huh?
Not gonna admit that on a pod. I'm just kidding. I do speak it a little bit. Mm. I understand it more. So like when my pops yells at me, I understand what he's yelling at me about. Oh, he's telling me to do things, I understand. But actually being there for 2 months, I picked it up a lot. So I was actually talking to my family in Farsi and having conversations in this because I was around it. But I'm not around.
After this podcast, I want you to say a couple of words.
I don't live in Westwood or the Valley or Irvine, so I'm not around Persians, man. I'm around. Yeah.
They live in those areas?
I'm around my.
You're what? You're Vatos?
Is that what you're going to say? My Chicanos, man.
You're like around Playa Vista.
Yeah. Cool, man. But yeah, that's really interesting. So we started recreationally. Yeah. Kind of moved in, want to be more competitive.
Exactly. And
what did you see? Did you feel any disadvantages as far as like, I mean, did you know what competitive was? It's like, oh, this is regular playing. Like, what's the difference between competitive growing up? I'm asking.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, coming into Ottawa at first, it was my parents didn't know anything about the soccer system. And when you're young, your parents are the ones who usually get you into it. So when I first started playing recreational or house league, whenever people talked about competitive soccer, it was something to look up at, right? I was like, wow, competitive player, you gotta be good. So once I did go there and play with the team, I mean, there was that disadvantage of not having started at the age of 7 or 8 and being in that, you know, high developing environment. But
you picked it up, no?
I picked it up, and it was thanks to a lot of the extra work I did. You know, a lot of the extra sessions I put in that kind of got me on track with
those.
Do you
have
players.
A trainer or just on your own?
No, so it's interesting because financially it was kind of a difficult time.
Yeah.
So a lot of the training I did, it would have to be on my own.
I think actually that might be the best kind of training. Why for me? Is because you know yourself and you know how far you could go, you know?
Exactly.
And you getting yourself out there by yourself without anybody.
That shows passion.
Yeah, that's passion. You cannot teach that or coach that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the main reasons why you picked up stuff so easily, like having not started from a young, young age because of your passion for the sport, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with that because even myself playing club, there was a point in time where I was so passionate about the game, wanted to play this. And it got to a point where I was burnt out.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to do anything. And then, you know, obviously it just kind of declined from there. I was like, I don't want to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the passion that really drives someone to want to, you know, dig deeper into their skill and stuff. Yeah. Pee-wee, what's next, bro? What other questions do you have?
Do I have?
That you stirred up?
No, well, I was checking out your Instagram and I saw like, you were doing like videos. Like, what got you into videos? Like, I want to hear this. You know,
interesting story.
What YouTube guy got you into YouTube doing this?
Okay, FussyTube. No,
Casey. Did Casey convince you?
Casey Neistat.
Yeah. Did he?
No,
did he convince you in this?
He did not. So, do you guys know who Free Kickers is?
I don't.
You heard of Free Kickers? Yeah. So, very funny story. At the beginning of high school, maybe grade 10. You know, I started watching a lot of football YouTube videos because I didn't have access to a personal trainer. So I was watching tutorials on how to get better and how to improve. And there was one main theme that kept popping up, and that was channels like Free Kickers, Jolter.
Jolter.
And you know, I watched these videos and I said, why not give it a go? I picked up the camera, started recording myself a bit. And I just love the whole process from capturing to putting it onto your computer, editing it, getting the production out there and hearing the feedback from the people. And I started off with tutorial videos.
Yeah.
A lot of tutorial videos. There was a big demand for them 3 to 4 years ago and racked up some good views.
Yeah.
And then now recently I'm starting to vlog because I'm loving the vlog game. Just to document your life and then look back at it. It's amazing.
No, I think that's blogging is really dope because like your life is so different. I mean, your day by day life could be so different, you know, and just to capture like moments.
Exactly.
Is
bro, you vlog a little bit.
vlog?
You vlog. Every time you put something on Instagram,
yeah,
you driving through East LA, you're vlogging.
I feel like Pee Wee would be a great vlogger.
He would. I don't know why. He has that face.
What face?
That face.
There you go.
There you go, again.
There you go.
No, like
shout
you
out
dude,
to Herman.
Shout out to Herman. We kicked him out of the room because he's too loud. No, you have that like that vlogging face. Like, you know, you can just zip your hoodie up. You'll have that like. You can even do a logo like that, exactly like that.
Yeah.
I think you should start vlogging, man.
Nah.
I'm day in the life of Pee Wee. I think I'd be
100%.
Nah, there's stories.
Well, dude, let's hear the stories.
No, but I'm just saying, like, there's stories that. It's crazy because, like, street players, we go to the hoods, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what? I should have taken a camera with me.
Yeah, you should.
Because things are captured that's so weird, man. Like, when we were at Pecan Park, like, there was a drive-by, and they were lucky enough. Some a blogger from Germany, it was his first time in L.A. We take him to Pecan Park, and he says he's freestyling, right?
Mm.
And I just hear pa, pa, pa. I'm like, what the hell? I look, and there's this guy out of a Camaro shooting down the alley. And then they were returning fire. So what we did is we all just grabbed the ball and just ran. It's funny because it's a clip of one of our players. It's like, before anything else, he looked at his ball, picked it up, and ran.
Where is this at? On YouTube?
Instagram.
Dude, I want to see this.
You never seen it?
No, I've never seen this.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, like, yeah, like, I think if, like, a lot of people, like, just take a camera with them, it's like, you could capture some crazy stuff, man. Oh, like, if we're going to Venice Beach to shoot, take it out, man. You're going to see some weird stuff.
Oh, I will,
for
sure, 100%.
Yeah. What do you feel like the future is for you as far as playing? Or YouTubing.
Yeah, YouTubing, playing. So as of now, I'm loving the game, so I'm going to keep on pursuing that. And then in terms of the YouTube game, that's another one of my passions, so I'm definitely going to keep up with the vlog life and kind of document what's been going on wherever the journey takes me, whether it be Europe or now here.
Yeah. What's the next location? Because I know you just... season kind of was over, and now you're coming back and doing your vacationing and all this.
Exactly.
So what's the next spot for you?
So as of now, we are on season break in Europe. We get a lot of snow down in Austria, so they have a couple weeks off, and then they kind of continue with the second half of the season up until May. Mm-hmm. And last, I've been with the club discussions. I'm currently looking at some other opportunities, with the CPL starting out in Canada, and then USA is looking good too with the USL, and then a couple different opportunities. There's still some options down in Austria, which I'm open to, as well as one opportunity in Germany. So for me right now, it's just about, you know, picking the correct opportunity and going from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever played street? Like raw street?
See, what do you mean by raw street?
Pee-wee. Explain.
Pee-wee, raw, explain. Meaning, you know, right?
Like no shoes. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
no
barefoot. shirt off and everything.
Yeah.
No, what I mean raw is like meaning like pretty much no rules, but like no fighting, of course, but like no rules as in like no offsides,
no
like,
outline.
You fight for that ball. Like might get rough, but like everything with respect, you know.
Yeah,
but like yeah, like raw meaning like in I know in Canada like this is too much snow, man. But like I feel like how can I say this? Yeah, like have you ever played like in concrete? Like pretty much like.
So I have played on concrete here and then, but to be honest, I've never really had the opportunity to be in that environment where a couple guys come out and we just play street footy. I would have loved to do it, but unfortunately. I don't know if it's the culture or, you know, the people around me, but in Ottawa, we're missing that football culture, that soccer culture where people just want to go out at the park and play.
Yeah.
So I've never really had that opportunity to do a 3v3, a 5v5.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally I'll get the guys out, you know, I'll force them out because us people from Ottawa, we don't want to put in the extra work too much. But yeah, I would have loved to do it. just
yeah. Well, maybe next time you come, like we'll set something up. Yeah,
I'm gonna join in.
Yeah, 100%. We definitely. Yeah, I think if you had more time here, we would definitely set something up. But even like, do you guys have basketball courts kind of just hanging around?
We do.
Bro, just start that 3v3 in Ottawa.
I should.
Just grab six people and be like, we're going to play.
One of my friends tried like a pickup Sunday type thing at a street court. Another problem is the weather too in Ottawa. Because if you're looking at street footy, we got about 4 months of good weather where you can kind of get that going. And he tried setting up a Sunday pickup type thing, and week one, week two, great, a lot of people showed up, and then kind of started dying down. But I'll definitely take that into consideration for the summer if I'm going to be in Ottawa or some wherever I am, start a street.
I think your blogging and everything, that would be good for it too.
For sure. Exactly, it'll blow it up.
We'll share you
when we'll share you
when how often do you guys have the 3v3s here?
I mean, you guys play every week.
Yeah, these guys play a lot on the daily, man.
Yeah. Like, we have our thing once a month. Okay. But they play every week.
And is it more of a fun thing or is it competitive?
It's a fun thing. Fun thing. It's like, like, see how many times I can meg you or, you know.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's kind of that lifestyle kind of thing, you know? And like, there's winning involved and everything else, but, like, it's just to showcase your skills that you have been learning and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And I saw your footwork on the Instagram.
Bro, he's trying to recruit you.
Yeah, you
keep watching. Oh, I'd love to. You recruit me onto your team.
Yeah. Start a bowl of Canada.
There's no transfer fee right now.
Right.
If
you want to.
negotiations. Yeah, you're going to have to do a royalty, though. I'm going to have to set a royalty fee on something at least. You know,
shit, I'll call the guys up right now and have them meet in Hawthorne.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. We'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, that'd be awesome. You do something like take it to Canada and show them something different. Yeah. That'd be really cool. Do you have anything you'd like to say as far as maybe someone that's listening that you feel like has gone through kind of what you've gone through as far as playing and all that?
I think the biggest thing for me in my career was not necessarily being up on top, you know, throughout my youth, and then a lot of people putting you down, telling you you can't do it, you're not on this team, you're not at this level, it's over, you know, just give up. And I think through times like that, it's just about finding yourself and finding that motivation to keep going. If you're not able to find that opportunity right away, you just got to keep going. But out of all the guys that I played with and are still at it, it's the ones who didn't give up and just kept going.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah.
What about your parents?
Oh, my parents in terms of...
You're going to play or you're going to do this? I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to create some comedy right now because I already know where this is going.
So you know how the Iranian parents are. So my parents are very traditional. Okay, so my dad, engineer, my mom, doctor. And typical Iranian parents.
This is, dude, Pee-wee, this is typical,
typical.
Bro. You either go to school... or you get rejected from the fam.
You rejected. And, you know, a soccer player, it's not one of the options.
Yeah.
It's you got doctor, you got engineer, and maybe a lawyer.
Which one did you pick?
Maybe a lawyer.
I went the doctor route. I did biomedical sciences at university before taking this year off and pursuing the football route. I mean, the parents are still, they're still in the mindset that, you know.
Does your dad have a mustache?
No, he did. He did, but bro, no.
My dad has a mustache.
Just the mustache or the beard too?
The stupid mustache.
Oh my God.
The typical.
Typical Iranian mustache.
And then his cousin is here from Iran.
Your dad listens to this.
No, my dad would laugh. His cousin, he has like he has a bigger mustache, dude.
I
saw typical, it.
Typical Persian mustache.
Family picture I saw from my dad, he's had that mustache.
The mustache.
Not just him, everyone else.
Dude.
All the males in the picture.
The mustache.
Oh my God.
But you know the struggle, man. You either go to school or you get rejected from the family. Like, you're not my son.
Yeah.
I don't know you. Like, you either become a doctor or a lawyer. Yeah, dude.
Oh, shit.
or you own a bank or something, just something up there, you know. But it's not soccer.
Yeah.
Like, because I've had that too.
The Mexicans, as long as you're still alive at the end of the day, you're good.
As long as you're alive, yeah, you're good.
You're good.
Bro. Well, hey, man, it's an honor to have you here. I hope someone can be inspired by, like, your story and where you've come from and just the struggle, man. I know, for one, just, like, what you were saying about your the language barrier, that's definitely one of the hardest things, you know. I sometimes can't even understand Pee-wee, but we overcome that.
Yeah, we overcome,
We overcome that. You know, but I just gotta learn Spanish.
Yeah, and he has a Salvadorian girlfriend, so.
Oh.
Shout out to Nadia. Yeah. No, but like something I saw interesting also while I was going through your Instagram is that the whole breaking bread, the way you went out.
Yeah.
If I don't say it, this guy.
I forget.
Yeah.
Got a lot of things on my mind. Yeah, like what? Actually, yeah. Let's kind of talk about that. Sorry. Episode's not over. It's still going.
Yeah, I saw you ending it. I was like, no, wait, hold up.
Because we're at 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So share that, man. Like, why? Yeah. Like, it was so random when you hit us up. And this was, what, a year ago almost?
Almost a year ago. I think it was.
Yeah.
A year ago. It was a year ago.
You hit us up. Like, what inspired you to go out there?
First of all, how the hell did you guys find
this? I know. How did you find us? That's number one. Okay,
so... to be completely honest, I don't exactly remember how exactly I found you, but it was through Instagram.
Yeah.
So I was going through Instagram, and I think one of your posts popped up in my feed, whether it was Explore page or somewhere, and, you know, seemed interesting, clicked on the page and saw what you guys are about. And I loved it from minute one to you know, doing the breaking bread down in Ottawa and then being here to serve other people and... give them hope, give them faith.
Yeah.
It's amazing. For me, it was always about, am I able to achieve what I want to be able to serve other people back and provide value to them, and to see someone else going after that.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a part
of it. Do you feel like the game can be used as a platform, like what we're trying to do to serve other people in that aspect?
100%. I mean, football is the world's beautiful game for many reasons. Brings all the different cultures together. And another big aspect is not everyone's you know, has the same opportunities, whether it be football or in life, and that can be related to what you guys are doing with Ochiki. You know, to provide that faith, that hope, and help and serve other people back. And
yeah,
it's wonderful.
So what made you like, I'm gonna take this and do this in Ottawa in freezing cold weather?
Yeah,
what was like the driving point for that?
So the biggest thing for me was I saw what you guys were doing down here, and it really struck a chord with me to see people, you know, out on the streets, not necessarily in the best living conditions, but to be able to provide and give everything you can and whatever you can to basically help them. It was great. And I know I talked to you guys to see how I could help, and you guys are doing it down here in Los Angeles, in the area here. And I can't imagine what the guys up there are going through with the cold weather.
Yeah, it's probably worse, man.
Yeah.
Not worse, you know, but just different.
Yeah, it's different overnight. So that was definitely something that I said, hey, you know, I can help out. Let me do what I can to help other people out.
How did you feel, like, initially walking up to someone? Because I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to come help because it's weird, this and that. There's all these things, right? How did you feel as far as when you first walked up to someone and you're like, here's pizza?
Yeah.
It's pretty, I mean, dude, last week, remember that lady, the husband and wife, they were like, we gave them the box and they were just like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were shocked. Like, it's not normal for them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that social interaction is definitely not normal. And to start out, the first couple of people was definitely, it didn't feel normal, or it didn't feel right, but it 100% was right. And once it got to the point of, you know, not just giving out the pizza, but taking some minutes of your day to listen to their story and what they had to go through and the situation they're in right now, that really opens up your mind and makes you realize that at the end of the day, we're all people, and we need to do what we can to help other people. And yeah, I think hearing the stories, that was the biggest thing for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything, bro?
Well, you wanna add on that? I kind of like took over your job for a bit because you forgot about the whole.
You didn't take over my job, dude.
Daniel,
you didn't take over my job.
Yeah. No, but yeah, that's cool, man. Like, mm-hmm. like the first time I went out with him, I was like,
he was awkward.
Yeah. Because it's like I haven't done that like in a long time, and I don't know how people react over here. Yeah. In the U.S., yeah, because when I was in Mexico, it's like everybody's thankful, everybody's like, you know, but over here you don't know.
It's different.
You don't know what culture, especially when we go to Venice Beach, you'll see what I mean. Like, you don't know like what to expect, what kind of drug they're in, or you know.
Yeah.
It's just so.
They can be up, or they can be really down, or they can just. Mm. I mean, it's so different, bro. Like it's not your normal, yeah. You know, thing. It's people are just it's just different culture and.
Yeah.
A lot of drugs and this mm-hmm. and that. So, well, cool, bro. Pee-wee, anything else you want to add, man? Because I don't want to tell people we're ending the episode and we don't end it.
No. I'm good. We'll talk on our way to
Venice.
To Venice, though. Yeah. But yeah. Like
anything from you, bro?
No. Again, I'm loving to be here. I'm excited to see Venice Beach and
we got some gear for you too.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And for those of you who are subscribed, we'll see you guys on the next episode. And for those of you who are not subscribed, please subscribe. And we'll see you on the next one.